Showdown. We're in the building. We got the homie JC from Urban Necessities.
What's going on, everybody?
Ryan George, the usual.
Yep.
So, how you liking it so far?
I mean, Phoenix is, I enjoy coming to Phoenix, man. I get a lot of love out here. It's great seeing a lot of friends and family and being able to say thank you to the supporter in person, man. I don't get to do that enough, you know?
It's like a second home. You're out here so much like a second home to you.
Yeah, I've been here, this is like two out of the last 3 weeks that I've been out here, man. So, but it's a quick flight, you know? Oh, yeah. It's only a 45-minute flight, so.
Yep.
So, yeah. Let's talk Urban Necessities. Very big. It's become a cult following. You guys have become more than just a shop. You guys are now embedded as a part of the culture. Everybody knows about you.
First off, humbling to even hear that being aimed at my shop, right? I've been very focused, as well as Joni and C's, and trying to make it an experience, more than just a place where you can buy, sell, and trade shoes, you know. And I think that, again, the acknowledgement of the consumer that's walking in, the supporter, you know, and making them feel at home and welcome is what's really helped me grow, right? That, and I mean, our consignment rate's only 10%, which is the lowest in the United States.
Wow. And that's one thing that we always talk about. I haven't been to Vegas since the store's been open. I think it's been 5 years since I've been to Vegas. You guys are...
This is 31 months now.
31 months. Open. Okay, so yeah. So next time I'm in Vegas, I definitely will stop by. But that's one thing that we've always talked about is that, like you said, you want to make everybody feel at home, give them a good experience. We've always talked about how terrible customer service has traditionally always been in sneaker shops.
100%.
Period.
I agree with you on that. You know, I've only been on the reselling side of sneakers maybe 4 years,
gotcha,
if that, right? And as my brand, when I was selling shoes out of the trunk, was growing, I felt the need to have to kind of go outside of Vegas and show consistency and the ability to acquire stuff that may not hit that market, right? In those efforts, like you, I wind up going to these stores and, you know, you start following them, paying attention, and you're like, oh man, this is crazy. I got to go to the store when I hit this city. And then you go there and you think it's going to be this giant kumbaya where everybody shows you love and every shoe's going to be in your size and they're going to acknowledge you. But then you go in and the shoes are wrapped and you can't try them on and no one wants to get from behind the counter.
Yep.
Right. And that's like crazy to me.
Right.
Like, yo, you don't have to pay attention to what I'm doing.
Yep.
You don't have to follow on the gram. You don't have to go on my website. You don't have to buy no shoes. Like, you don't have to do any of that. So if anything, when you walk in the store, I should be thanking you. Because that took time and effort on your part.
Absolutely.
You know, if you know about my brand, I say it all the time. If you know my brand, you've been involved in talking about or paying attention to my brand for at least 2 hours. I can't give you them 2 hours back. I got to acknowledge. Because at the end of the day, like, if that experience isn't right, why should you come back to my store?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You guys know how consignment works. There's never going to be a time where every single shoe or shirt that's in the store is your size, right? And it's about keeping that interest, right? And, you know, Heat Lockers have helped us do that. The events that we've done have helped us do that when we had Shooter. So it's more about the experience more than anything, man. Like, you know, I say it all the time, man. I feel like Mickey Mouse, but instead of gloves, it's shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that's really helped me grow my brand in ways I can't even begin to explain.
That's awesome. And, I mean, you know, I've noticed, because I mean, you guys were probably the first, if not one of the first stores, to do the Heat Locker.
We were the first in stateside, yes.
The other machine, the
Popped. Yeah, so.
Explain Popped.
So, similar premise, right? Popped is not owned by me or UN. Popped was something that a buddy of mine and I, we had a conversation one day, and he was like, Jay, if there was anything you could do to change UN, what would you do different? And I said, I want to generate more winners.
Yeah.
And to generate more winners, you got to find creative ways not to give your backside out there, right, while doing it, because it can, you know, cost you your business if you're giving away too much stuff. Right, it's no secret how those things work.
Right.
I try to set mine to where I generate winners every day, because if I have winners every day, you're gonna come back.
Right.
But back to Pop, so it's me and my boy, we're having this conversation. I'm like, I wanna give it all away, but at the same time, we're running a business. So we came up with this concept. You buy t-shirts, the t-shirts have poker chips or scratch-off tickets inside of it.
Okay.
And then there's prizes, right? But every drop, we're giving away anywhere between 30 to 50 grand worth of stuff. And now you have these lifelong promoters. Like, think about it. You're a kid. You only got 100 bucks. You come to the store with 40, but you came up a pair of Yeezys.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That's that's life-changing,
that's
man.
Right.
You know, so.
And they'll be back forever.
Yeah.
And remember that experience.
Let's talk vlogging, YouTube, things like that. So, you guys have always been out there social media-wise, all the time, face-wise. And now you guys seem to be getting more into the video, the YouTube, the things like that. And obviously with the UN brand, you already have a built-in following. So it's easy to ask them to follow us.
It definitely helps. Look, the only reason I mean, I understand why some people that are in this are doing it, right?
Right.
I get it. It can be lucrative for you
if
you get the right cosigns or you put the right content out, right? I didn't do it for the money. I don't need that money.
Right.
I need to be able to build my brand in a way that if I put my name on it, it's good and everybody understands, yo, that product is solid, right? And at the same time, I have been privileged enough, or my brand's been privileged enough, that you have the Kaisers of the world, the Blake Linders, the Blake Wins, you know, coming into the store, throwing us up on their videos and helping me grow the brand. But at the same time, they're not pitching the message necessarily the way that I ideally would want to see it.
Absolutely.
So it was more about taking control of what content is being put out. And I get it. Right now I'm putting out stuff that might not necessarily be completely about the brand,
right. But
it's more to kind of get you to have a better understanding of the characters that are behind the brand.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I've heard your story a few times. I mean, it's a great story. I mean, especially considering where you are right now and saying how UN has only been open for 31 months. It's incredible. I mean,
it's literally
one of those, what you would call the American dream type story. You're doing great for yourself. We appreciate it for the culture. We understand everybody who participates and brings something fully to the culture. We enjoy it. Why like a Blake Wynn? And I'm only asking this, and this is because I feel like I would be bad not to ask this, because I don't want to say we have an issue with that type of stuff, but it's almost like, considering how hard you had to work and the vloggers and individuals of privilege that come in and built this foundation of, like, wow, this is somebody. It's a little hard to watch somebody who didn't work as hard as you watch my vlog, $15,000 Louis Vuitton pickups. It's a little different.
No.
And I never understood.
And I understand that, right? But
right.
I'll tell you right now, I'm a huge fan of Blake and his work ethic.
Right.
He's 16 going on 17 years old. This 17-year-old works harder than some grown-ups I know.
Yeah.
That's one.
Right.
Two, Blake has been coming to the shop and buying from my brand since before I opened. Like, we used to do FaceTime appointments, and Blake couldn't even drive. He would hit me up, FaceTime appointment. We would show him everything we would have, go to the back room, show him everything. He'll be like, all right, I want this, this, that, and that. We would drop it off to him, and he would, you know what I mean? Like, he was good money in my book.
Right.
Blake has allowed UN to touch a very different type of demographic, right? And look, this whole culture has been based off of adapting and
Absolutely.
Changing with the times, right? I understood really early on that I needed to touch that demographic, right? Now, do Blake and I see on the same page on everything? No, but he's 16,
right.
And I'm a grown-ass man.
Yes.
So there's going to be some things that we don't see eye to eye on it, but it's a good relationship. It kills me to see some of the comments on his page, my page, where they're like, oh, you dropped this dude and that. It's not even the case. We're still doing collabs and stuff like that, and I want to see him grow. And I understand that he comes from a very different background. A lot of people don't know who his family is. You know what I'm saying? But, bro, he's been, like, nurtured into the business side of it, and his work ethic is crazy. Like, that's why I rock with that kid the way I do.
All right, and see, we completely understand it from the standpoint, because I'm not going to lie to you. We've talked about it before on our show. And it's not necessarily themselves.
Nah, it's the culture vulture side of it.
Okay, yeah,
I get that.
So, like, people seeing that and thinking that that's reality. Like, well, I mean, that, you know, like.
So just add on, we talked to Teddy last time at StingerCon. I wasn't there, but these guys did. And some of his fans, you know how his fans are. They'll go in the street and fight for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely unnecessary.
And but you got to respect that, too, because, I mean, he's become, he's relatable.
Oh, we love the work he's done. Yeah. And that's the thing. We love what he's done. And to that point, some of those folks just, in my opinion, they take it a little bit
too
far.
Some of the supporters take stuff too far. And I agree with you 1,000,000% of the way, right? I also understand that there's ShoeTubers out there that are putting content out where they're just sucking out of the culture. But it falls on us to either pay attention and bring it to light and support it or not support it, right? So you can't necessarily be mad if someone or be upset and not do anything about it if this dude finds a lane for himself and he's, you know what I mean? But I get it.
No, because we don't...
Yeah, we don't have issues.
No,
with
no, no. I'm not saying that you do, but I'm just saying, in general, like it kills me. Like a lot of, like even with me, you see, there's a lot of like every time I bust out a shoe early, it's a problem. It's like, oh,
that's
fake.
Like,
what you want me to do? Like, I take the steps to authenticate the stuff. I know who I deal with. I know the shoes are good. Like, I wouldn't, like at this point, I run a multi-million-dollar business. Do you really think I'm going to jeopardize a multi-million-dollar business over a couple $1,000 on a release? Right. Like, it's retarded.
Or
but it's something
you're not going to do.
Yeah.
But I deal with that all day long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's the same.
It comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory, man. And it's, you know, that's the one thing with our culture that we're in. It's either we embrace and support the guy that's consistent in doing whatever it is, or we take that same effort and point and ridicule and talk negative about him. You know what I mean?
It's a thin line between love and hate.
You can't win. There's no winning. There's no losing.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think some people need to be more conscious about, like, we have fans, too, even though we're not as big as some of those guys are. And we heard a story this weekend, right? This weekend about, like, our fans are, like, telling stories about
us to another,
you know,
podcast,
like our street just, team or whatever is trying to be grimy.
You can't look,
just making stuff up.
You know how many times I've heard when I go to certain cities where they're like, yo, we heard UN was saying this and this and that.
I'm sure.
Like, that's life. Like, social media has turned it into something where they want it to be a me versus you.
Oh, yeah. Right.
With everything. It falls on you to either take the energy to spend it and be negative with them or create awareness.
We've told people on the show before, that's unnecessary. You know what I mean?
I talked to Teddy, too. Like, Teddy's the homie.
Right. Oh, he's a super good dude.
Yeah.
He's like a super good dude.
Bro, I mean, he was at the crib. He crashed in my crib while he was in Vegas when we did that pop-up. And, I mean, he talked about the interview and, you know, like, he talked about the interview with you guys. And, and what I appreciate is that at the end of the day, you guys said what you had to say and your outlooks, and he had the opportunity to say what he had to say and his outlooks. And that, these podcasts are great for the debate. Like, people need to hear both sides and different views on the same subject. Like, that's very important for what
we're
doing.
It definitely wasn't like the other video chat thing that he did where they, like, came after him. That wasn't our point, you know what I mean?
They tried to go in on him.
Yeah, I mean, we're not 2020 or 60 Minutes or none of that. You know what I mean? Like, we're just trying to further the culture. That's it.
Bro, I have a love and appreciation for every brand out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I rock a lot of Adidas, but I wear my J's. I wear my Air Maxes.
You still wear your J's?
I was wearing J's the other day. I just bought satin Royals for me and wifey the other day. So
back to the store. So we talk about buying sneakers all the time, and we talk about how celebrities have kind of taken over the culture in a sense, a little small amount. So we had an episode where we had talked about, because you guys were at New York SneakerCon,
right?
That looked like it was insane.
Oh, it was OD.
So we had, you know, we seen stuff like a Fat Joe and everybody, and how, like, you know, they started their business in hip hop music, they built their wealth somewhere else, and then they brought it to the sneaker culture, and now they're trying to, like I feel like you, self-made, you're building, I mean, from the ground up, you work hard, and then you have, like, a celebrity that can come in. And I know it's a different business, because we bring you the product versus them getting the product from Nike and Jordan. Do you feel celebrities hinder when they try to get in on the business side versus the just making the sneakers attractive?
They don't hurt it as much as they help it, in my opinion. Right? You look at the Fat Joes of the world, like, bro, I've known Joe since I was a kid.
Really?
You know,
I didn't know that.
I mean, not like
Right.
Not like, yo, Joe, what's going on today? What are we eating? Right. Like, not that type of relationship, but I've talked to Joe a handful of times since I've been in his sneakers. Like, when I was in high school, Puerto Rican Day Parade, walked with them 60, 70 blocks. Like, so I've always known he was a sneakerhead.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think...
I mean, yeah, what was it, MTV Cribs?
Oh, Lick the Bottom. I mean, that was like,
It's not about him being in the sneaker, like, it's
but
like
for him to get for him to get into business, this is the benefit that I see for Joe and that city. Now you have another legitimate source in a city where there is so many fakes out there, and it's just it's just accepted.
Yeah.
Now for the guy that is willing to take that trip up to that city from anywhere, yo, let me go check it out. I might see Fat Joe while I'm up there. While you're there, you're gonna get to witness a couple pieces of history, because he has some shoes you don't see every day laying around, right?
Excuse me.
Business side of it.
I think Greg's biggest issue, and I mean, we share some of the same points, and I can understand where he's coming from, but they can jump right into getting a Tier Zero account and a top level Adidas account and that kind of stuff. Whereas,
mom and pop.
But would you rather see? Let me ask you a question. Would you rather see a Fat Joe do it, or a guy from middle, like from upper suburbia, with a whole lot of money that doesn't know his left or his right?
That's right. True. Now, see that's a good point as well, because there are a lot of people that are involved in stuff like that have no clue. They're just in it for the money.
That's real culture vulturing right there.
I mean,
but that's happening right now.
You're right.
Fat Joe, we would never ever question him being a sneakerhead. That's fact. Fat Joe is in the culture.
Fat Joe, but fabulous. Like, I mean, all, you know.
But it's like an urban necessity. So if you have an urban necessities, it's just big. If you don't know urban necessities, you might as well walk out the building. That's cold hard facts.
That is.
Now, if there's another consignment shop in Vegas and urban necessities has a zebra for $1,000, and this shop has a zebra for $1,000. I'm gonna buy it from Urban Necessities because that's just what it is. If I'm in New York City, mom and pop, they have a shell toe Adidas. Kith has a shell toe deal. I'm walking in Kith and buying that shell toe because I'm walking out of Kith with an experience.
Right.
Like you said, you provide an experience. I worry that like when a Fat Joe was a sneaker shop, it's so dope.
It puts two or three mom and pops out of business.
That's what
I don't know if you guys have been to that area. There's literally nothing.
Nothing around?
Nothing. The only thing that I'm concerned for Joe is that when he first got in, he didn't necessarily have the right people around him,
right?
And it got a little messy,
right?
And he's trying his best to fix it.
Yeah. It's not necessarily Joe. We're talking
I don't think that the right brand influencers are playing a consistent enough job in jumping into it. I do think that you need the Fabulouses of the world to say, yo, I own a shop, you know? Like, and I do think that there's some influencers that jumped in that aren't doing a good enough job of talking about the fact that they own a shop. Like, absolutely. For instance, did you guys know Redman had a sneaker store?
I did not know Redman had a sneaker store.
Who owns the one in Vegas? Is that Nas?
So Nas is the face of 12 AM Run.
Yes.
It's owned by a good friend of mine named Nick Sakai, who used to be part of Crossover, and also some of the guys. What was the Fun Factory guy on MTV? Like his boy. That did the clothing line. I'm bad with names, dog.
Rob Dyrdek?
The Young and Restless dude.
His cousin.
Drama, Johnny Drama? Or not Johnny Drama.
The other kid, the skinny kid.
So he's involved
in that too. And you need those stores in Vegas. Like, you know, 3-4 years ago, you would come to Vegas and there was like Nike Town.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's a fact.
You know, when I started selling shoes,
best outlet ever in North America too.
It's okay.
It's debatable.
Yeah, I think Florida's getting a lot of love with shoes, with outlets.
I heard that all the Texas Nike is getting IDs a lot of Florida.
So you know,
they opened that new Nike store up too. You know what I mean?
But when I first started selling sneakers a little less than 4 years ago, there was only 5 sneaker stores in Vegas.
Yeah.
You go to every mall now. There's at least 5 sneaker stores in Vegas.
Right.
In every mall. You know, and then plus you got your boutiques. Like Feature just got a friends and family Jordan account. Did y'all know that? They were selling cars.
See, we buy for Feature LV.
Yeah, like New Balance and stuff. Yeah. We bought.
I mean, they only let go 4 pairs out the front door. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But
we've had that conversation too. If we own a shop, what we've been doing, we can't disagree with anything.
Look, you know why I can't knock it? I used to knock it when I was on the other side and I was a consumer, right? Business owner, I understand. that these brands are never going to give you enough product to stay relevant and pay your light bill.
Yeah. What's even worse?
Or to make everybody happy.
We've talked about it before. High Point right here in town was owned by an NFL player. You know how many times he's getting hit up just by his teammates for stuff? You know what I mean? Like, good luck. And he still has to make the public happy, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, there's no way to make everyone happy.
So, you win, known for the boost wall. It's just, and it, I'll be honest with you, every single time you look at it, me and George will be at work, look at it on YouTube. It's just incredible within itself.
I look at that wall every single day, and I'm like, I don't know how we got here, man. Like, you know, it's...
But see, that's what I love. That's what we love. Like, man, I'm talking like, from what I heard, from just regular to, man, like, you're doing a meet and greet here. Did you even bring any product?
Shirts.
Look, you brought shirts, meet and greet, and we know we're talking about a boost wall. Like, that's where you come from. So it's just kind of hard. Like I said, just going back really quick, it's like, man, bro, like, you can buy anything you want in the world. So it's like, man, I don't understand why everyone follows you like they do. Not you. I'm talking about, like, the bloggers like that. You, that story is, like, incredible. And like you said, you look at where you're at and say, man.
I wake up every single day. And I look over at Joni and I'm like, yo, is this real? Like, every single day, because everything I'm doing right now is no different than the very first day when I started selling shoes on my trunk.
Yep.
Ain't nothing changed. I'm still hungry. I still want to take care of people. I still want people to know that, like, we're consistent and we'll get you what you need. But at the same time, like, I'm not letting this money get to my head. Like, I'm at life-changing money already, you know what I'm saying? But I still treat it like my lights might not be on tomorrow.
We appreciate you coming to sit with us, because now we're not where we want to be, but we have that goal to get there.
Nah, bro, but you know the biggest thing that'll help you get to where it is that you want to go, and what's helped me, is coming up every day and doing the same exact thing that you did yesterday.
Absolutely.
What people lose through social media is, like, through social media, yes, you can see everything that someone's done, but if you only started following yesterday, you're not going to know what the story was 10 months ago, year ago, right? So,
that's a good point, because, like, there's people that hit us up, and they're like, you guys need to talk about this. I'm like, oh, we did, episode 8. Yeah. We're on 54 right now. And I'm like, please.
And I know it sounds like being a broken record, but you, like, legit have to be a broken record, because, like, no one goes, like, I like using baseball analogies, right?
Right.
No one's going to bat 300 for an entire year if they didn't have 15 years of effort behind that, going to the batting cages, working out consistently, dieting right. It's, and I'm not saying I'm an athlete, because I'm fat and I, like, going upstairs, I breathe hard.
Right.
But I am telling you that when I go to work and I'm at the shop, you know when I'm at the shop, because the IG got 30 to 80 posts every single day.
Right.
You know when I'm at the shop, because we have winners and I'm taking pictures with them and talking to every customer that walks in. Like, I'm not big-headed. Like, the second I get big-headed, that's when it's a wrap.
Right.
That's when I stop growing. And I, like, bro, I got a lot of other crazy stuff I want to do for UN that I'm not even at yet. Like, I got a book coming out later this year.
Oh, wow.
So the book talks a little bit about my backstory and how to make it and how to build a brand without necessarily getting the cosign or having the money to build a brand.
Right?
Because that's literally what I did. I started my brand with $40 31 months ago.
And that, talk to somebody else about marketing itself. That around here, you got people with clothing lines, you got people selling sneakers. You walk up to somebody's table, they don't even say a word to you. I'm looking at your shoe with interest, and they're sitting back in their chair.
But it's fear.
It's fear.
And you have a lot of introverted people that are in our culture, man, that don't know how to interact.
That's true,
too. You
know
what I'm saying? And that's why some people they don't get the love that they probably should for the work that they're doing. You know, like, I come from retail background, bro. I've been working since I was 14. I'll be 38 this year. So, like, all I know is how to help people, you know?
That makes sense. So, I know you got to get going. We asked everybody who sat with us today 10 questions. People be interested. 10 questions, one word, or anything you want to say about what we ask you, it'd be great.
Okay.
You ready?
Try my best.
Nike.
There's no wrong answers here.
There's no wrong answers. Nike.
I wish they wouldn't have got so big-headed.
Hey, I think that's really? a lot of our opinion, I think.
You think they got big-headed?
I think that they got complacent. 100% complacent. They allowed their hottest designers to walk.
And they went to Adidas.
Out of greed.
Yes.
Greed. Like, if they would have paid them people a little bit extra money, do you really think that Adidas would be cooking the way they are right now?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you know, but the, you know, Boost was offered to them first, so there you go.
That's crazy.
Big head.
Adidas.
Got the Midas touch right now.
Yeah. Can they be stopped?
I don't think that they'll ever overcome Nike.
Right.
In a today and a tomorrow thing. I think it'll even out. Like, I tell a lot of people at the shop, like, it reminds me of, like, Nike and Reebok back in the day. Like, when I was a kid.
Thank you very much.
Reebok was cooking.
Yeah, they had the cross trainer stuff. And, like,
Iverson.
Yeah, but not only that, they had the commercials with the ladies doing.
They were very creative, right?
They were creative. That's what makes me so angry about Reebok now.
And Nike came in, and it was, like, this new wave, and they were doing things different, and they were like some of their commercials. They took, like, I know they did it before Red Bull, but they, like, look at
it's
Red Bull.
It's still the best advertising company in the history of the United States of America.
They got away from that.
Yeah. They did.
Right? And the thing is like, Jordan was their meal ticket, and now you have a brand that's iconic and everyone knows it, but no one is still there curating that brand, right? So when you have a 13 or 14-year-old that's looking at a pair of True Blue 3s on the wall or a pair of tricolor NMDs, he don't know nothing about that Jordan. He don't know that Jordan won a dunk. You know what I'm saying? He don't know any. So you can't just... It's not what you did yesterday. It's what you're doing today. And Adidas today is grabbing all the people that are influencers, putting them on the team, and say, yo, run with this.
Right.
Do what you want.
Yeah, because we talked about us growing up. Like you said, you about to be 38. Us growing up, we bought Jordans because we actually wanted to be like Jordan.
Like, right. And they're living, they're eating off nostalgia at this point, like with people our age, like, they're buying it because they remember.
The Bo Jackson line probably hurts me. Like, that's probably one of the lines that hurts me the most. Like, that was crazy when that came out back in the day. Yeah. The shirts, the commercials, the shoes, was just over the top. And
Congrats
like
to all of them marketing.
Go look at a Bo Jackson now. They go straight to outlets. Oh,
yeah. even like when Tiger Woods first appeared on the scene, the commercials were cool.
Nike Golf.
It was just different.
Yeah.
How do you feel about vloggers?
That's a tough one. I am thankful that they created an avenue for me to correct it.
There you go. I think that's very well said.
I feel that, you know, like, I get it. Everybody tries to find their lane. Some people always find the creative way to take advantage.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to bring it to what it was intended to be from the very beginning.
Right. And see, like I said, how we might feel about, because it's not him. It's not Blake. It's not anybody. Right. It's the people that follow him, because I don't understand it sometimes. But
you got to think about it too, right? Like, when I grew up, didn't nobody have no internet?
No.
Right? Like, these kids are living a little bit better life growing up than what we did.
A lot.
Right? So we understand the struggle.
It's not even
we understand.
It's
Well, I mean,
we always joke all the time about your 30-day trial AOL discs that we always.
Yeah, we all used to have them.
Or when you got the phone call, in the middle of a song download on BearShare.
Oh, you're done. Oh, I forgot about BearShare, man. I totally forgot about BearShare. Yeah,
we had to restart the download all over.
When long distance used to be something. I remember my mom would say, hey, you got 5 minutes long distance.
Yeah.
Like, stuff has greatly changed. But it's good to hear that somebody like you are behind someone like him, because you can feed him.
I mean, look, we both understand we could give each other the cosigns, right?
Right.
And I genuinely am excited for him, bro. Like, he's either going to go to NYU or Penn. He's, like, a really, really smart kid.
That's good.
And I talk to him all the time. He's like, yo, Jay, I don't think that I could do the sneaker thing for longer than this. Like, I think he feels his channel has a shelf life as far as the content that he's putting out.
Right.
So he's just trying to put out solid content till he gets to whatever that next
phase of his life.
Right. But at the same time, remember, he's 16.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And if the thing that I say when we look at those vloggers that are 15, 16 years old, well, who do we got that's out there? You don't see, like, Perfect Pair could be doing it. That's would you true. Watch?
I might watch. I mean, there's a few cats that are around our age, like.
And it's not to call out Perfect Pair, Kenny. I love you, bro. It's all love. I'm just saying.
Right. Well, see, that's with us because we're older than majority of people in here doing this. And sometimes we speak more to the older sneakerhead than the younger sneakerhead. I'll get into it. I try not to, but the younger sneakerheads, you guys are old men, you're boring, and we don't need you. You hate everything. They think we hate everything.
We're only boring to them because we're not grabbing them by the hand and say, yo, let me show you how it is, young.
Right.
Like, that's really all it is. It's, there's a totally different way to look at it, and it's just like, as opposed to the me benefit, we got to look, okay, well, how do we create awareness? And you gotta have the healthy debates, man.
Absolutely.
And
I think I'll say, I mean, that's a good point. We
But trust me, I have my rants, but they're always
right.
Behind closed doors.
I've had a few rants too.
Yeah, we have. we speak from like our own selves and opinion. Yeah. So sometimes I will admit, we don't explain why to the full extent of like a composite. It used to be what it was and why it's not now. Because if you think about it.
Or Nike foam, SB or whatever.
Yeah, because a composite. Penny Hardaway might have the longest, the most sneakers ever. The Foamposite has never changed. The Foamposite 1 has tried to change, but it just didn't work out. And it's still being created to this day. It's not as popular, but it's like, man, these are still here to this day. We're talking about Penny Hardaway, not talking about Jordan.
Yeah.
These are still here. So a lot of people don't understand that. They see a Foamposite, they don't know that, like, Foamposite was like 180 when we were in school. That was expensive back
super
in the day.
Expensive.
Like,
I had two jobs, man. Though.
Yeah,
like,
now they're
all my
what?
Paychecks went to that
now,
shit.
Now they go now 260? So it's like, man, like, we don't sometimes explain that, but we get it.
I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit. Air or Boost? I'm sure you've been asked many times recently.
You're almost Boost. 38. Now, everybody that have gotten on here, we're surprisingly have said
that,
here.
Honestly, the answer is probably not the most important part. Is what you say after the answer that people want to hear.
It hurts me to get asked this question.
Because you grew up with the Air.
My first pair of sneakers were Air Max 90s that my mother put on layaway for 2 weeks. Infrareds, back in 89, 90.
Yeah.
Like, I will always have Airs in my collection. The ones that I love are older stuff that crumbles and falls apart.
Right.
And for that reason, I'm going to have to go with, like, Boost. I got it. Like, 93-17s right now are, like, bro, if you haven't put your foot in a 93-17, go do me a favor.
I heard it's like walking on clouds.
Go do me a favor. It will, and then go wear it for a day or two. I guarantee you that if you don't go with the, like, with the blinders on and say, okay, let me just give this a try, it will legit make you want to get rid of everything else you own.
You prefer the black one or the white one?
I bought both, so
bought both?
I'm
we're talking
I might not be the guy to ask that question, but
yeah.
If you told me I could only have one shoe in the Boost collection, it'd probably have to be 93-17 right now, and it'd probably be the black one because growing up, I couldn't do white shoes.
That's the thing, like, I want the white pair.
One shoe that your mom or dad bought me, like, back in the day, like, that shoe was supposed to last me a year to two.
Oh, yeah. I used to wear like whatever size. We used to buy a size up, two sizes up.
Oh man, I'm at 8.5. Listen, I'm at 8.5. I had some high school years where I was wearing size 10.
I was wearing
my
11.
Parents were like, "You're still gonna grow, Jay."
You know, I'm a 9.5. I was wearing 11s at sometimes in high school though, because my parents would be like, "You'll grow into it." I'm like, "Yeah, I stopped growing in like 7th grade. I'm good."
Freshman year, I was 4'11" going in. Talking about wearing a size 10.
Well, the worst part is not wearing the bigger size. It's wearing a smaller size.
Yeah.
I had to do that. That's not fun. 10.5, and I'm a 12.
So you just bought the Satin Royal ones. I'm sure you have the bread.
Yeah, I copped those when those
satins
came out too.
So either in the Satin or the OG, bread or Royal?
Bread.
Breads?
I think
out of 10 people, I think only one person has said Royal.
I mean, I think the Satin looks a lot better in blue, right? But look at what Jordan did with that bread on.
Right.
That's actual facts.
You know?
So, is it you? What's the story behind that? I know Greg Street was behind the release on the Satin Royals only going two spots. What, you know anything behind that?
The only thing that I saw was that they went to the two oldest Jordan accounts.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was the two oldest Jordan accounts.
I never even heard of that store.
Not even in Chicago, huh? In Houston?
The two oldest Jordan accounts. So they got the... And they made more satins than they did...
the breads?
Yeah, they made more royals than they did breads.
That's actually kind of dope.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean,
I would have guessed it would have been that account would have been in Chicago. You know what I mean? Assuming the same store.
Chicago's
still
very privileged, man. When it comes to Jordans,
like, they are. Oh yeah, a lot of people don't know it.
They're super. Like, I'm so tight right now that I don't have a pair of college four. I swore I was gonna find a pair here.
Oh, I thought anybody had a pair.
I've only seen one.
I've seen three pairs today. It was like 9.5, 10, and 11.5, and I'm like.
Yeah, but a guy like you can't get that, trade it, sell it, give it away.
I mean, I could get it. It's just like I've had four or five pairs offered, and you know, I'm a instant gratification dude. I didn't want to go through gold and wait 2.5 weeks for it. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so then asking that, does somebody like you said, you're at the point of life-changing money. Do you have a limit on even what you would buy sneaker-wise for yourself?
100%.
Oh, really?
My number is a lot higher than most at the moment, but just because that number is higher doesn't mean that I don't struggle with that decision. It's like, look, bro, you start, you buy a $100 shoe. Now you've made it okay that every shoe is $100,
right?
And if it's less than that, it's not worth it. So then you go to $300, right? And now every shoe, and then you start looking at your $100 shoes like, what am I doing with these, right?
Yep.
And then it just keeps going up, right? I am thankful that in a short amount of time I've been able to acquire like a lot of the crazy stuff that I don't have to go back and buy it no more.
Yep.
And I got it, like some of them I look like a genius when I bought them, right? And some of them I look like a complete idiot that I spent what I spent on them. But
yeah, I heard you talk about that at one point. You said you bought something a couple months early. Maybe it was the Packer NMD.
I bought the Bape NMDs 3 months early.
Okay.
And I paid like $2, but day one, they were $2.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and then I also bought Shoe Off Ballin' to win the Kanye Air Max 180 that was a friends and family look-see sample.
Yep.
Right. One of one. I paid $8,500 for it. And that was $2,500 more than his last offer. And the only reason I offered him $2,500 more was because he told me it's not for sale. And I was like, look, I'm going to make you an offer that the next time that you see this shoe, it's either on my foot or on my gram. Because you'll never see it again after that. And then I bought it. I wore it for 30 minutes and it fell apart. So it happens. You know?
That's some classic Nevada Vegas mafia type.
Oh, bro, did you see my did you see what I did with the pink human race?
No.
Oh, no.
So I had a pink human race size 10 come up, and I've like on a lot of the vlogs and social media, I've been like, man, if this shoe ever comes in my size, like I'll do whatever I gotta do to get it. I got a phone call the same day, like, yo, I got this 8.5. You wanna trade for that 10? And like, both of us, like, I wanted the shoe at that moment.
Right.
The little homie lived in the Bay. Bro, I flew him out.
Huh?
I flew him out to do the trade in person. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if a shoe means that much to me, like that much,
right,
like I'll do whatever I got to do to get it. Like,
that's
what we work for, is to be able to do the ignorant stuff and then tell the story down the road. You know?
Hey, it's in all the rap songs these days. That's what it's all about.
Nike Yeezy, Adidas Yeezy. Not the person.
What Adidas? Which one?
Just one.
In general? Solar. I'd have to go Yeezy 2 Solar. Like, that's... I love that shoe a lot.
Probably the best.
That one, and I'm a fan of the Zebras and the Turtle Doves, but the Solar's still a shoe, regardless, like, even though I'm making good money, like, that's still a shoe I'm afraid to wear because I don't want to disrespect it. You know what I mean? So, like, that's the shoe for me.
Yeah, because George made a good point. The Nike Yeezys, when colors were introduced, color...
No, he was the first one to use some of those color combinations.
Yeah. Well, and two, he was the first one that was allowed to use some of the like patterns.
Yep.
Right.
Like Nike wasn't letting you take straps from this and you know the sole from that back
too,
then.
Yeah.
So you know, he was the first one to do that, and now you're starting to see like these fusion. I mean, the 93-17 is an example of that.
Right.
You know, so
Nike SB Dunks.
Sad.
Like,
bro, I got Iron Maidens that I can't even, like, it's just sad. Like,
did that you
was
sell
probably.
Any SBs?
No.
Not even worth it.
We discontinued carrying Nike basketball, LeBron's, Kobe's.
I'm gonna ask you that.
Dunks, SBs, Blazers. Every one of them that fall under those categories have been in my store for greater than 180 days.
Wow.
We stopped taking them in. I mainly carry Jordan 1 through 14 and then all the Adidas stuff. And all my shoes have 30 day or less turnaround.
Wow.
We have over 3,000 pairs of shoes in the store.
Wow. One more question, right?
Yeah, one more.
I got to ask you, most important question. The sneaker culture currently.
How do you feel about it, good or bad? It's Sneakers Podcast. You can say however you feel about it.
It needs a little bit more help. It needs help. Like, it needs people to be proactive. And it like, I hate using the words culture vulture, but the culture vultures are the ones that we're allowing to be culture vultures.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? We need more people to take their influence and be more proactive instead of just showing everything that they buy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it falls on us, bro. Like, it's,
I mean, the worst thing, honestly, is showing it and then you don't even keep it. You show it and you sell it. You know what I mean? Like, you're showing stuff that you're buying and keeping and wearing.
Right.
Or stuff that you bought that you are selling for somebody else. Like,
I mean, I'm a sneakerhead before a business owner.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'll always be a sneakerhead before a business owner until the little kids start making fun of me for being 50 years old with the latest, you know what
right.
I mean? But at that point, maybe I'm a little bit not so much in the limelight, you know? But
you'll still be buying sneakers.
Yeah, and I'll still try to bring awareness.
We've already come to the realization, like, we're addicted.
It's an addiction.
I'm talking since we were
kids. It's not even the shoes no more. It's the chase. It's legit being told, no, you can't have that.
Yeah.
I'm going to prove it wrong.
Like, I mean, we're not out here.
You're going to spend another $2,500.
Like, we're not out here camping, staying the night anymore.
Yeah.
But like me and George talk about all the time, when you put in that work and you got a backseat full of Concords, I mean, the backseat is filled with Concords. It makes you feel a certain type of way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, when a sneaker sits, it's like it sucks. Let me talk about True Blue 3s and Metallic 5s. They were so disrespected. Now, it's like, I hate that I feel this way sometimes, but it's like, oh, man, True Blue 3s, fire, classics. But if nobody else wants it, it's kind of like, I'll wait till it hits the outlet.
We talked about, like, it's a dichotomy. The sneakerheads wanted more pairs made. They wanted production up, and it was. And now they don't buy anymore.
Well, we're too concerned with the fact of, oh, that looks cool, like on someone else's foot. Or what are they going to think if I'm wearing this or that? It's no longer, we're not shopping no longer because we like it completely, right? It's like we're doing it to impress dudes. We're doing it to impress girls.
Right.
We're doing it to feel... Like, think about it, bro. Like, we got grown-ups still that don't have their stuff together.
Oh, yeah.
That are buying shoes because they can't get that nice car.
Right. Actually,
so they got them nice J's or them nice NMDs.
Oh, we actually, a gentleman this morning who had been camping out since 15, a kid,
16.
15 years old, camping out since 12 yesterday. He was the second person in line. He bought the Ben Haddo steel tan for $450. And we were like, what are you going to do with it? And he's like, I'm going to flip it to buy a car, my first car.
That's
true. And it's like...
And I said, thank you, young man. Because you know what? At that period of time when we had all the sneakers, there was a moment I was at the 500, 600, 700, sold every single pair because I was like, you know, you have that moment where you're just like, I'm done. Nike does nothing for me. Jordan does nothing for me. And it's like, man, what are you going to do with it now? Because I said to myself, this is when the internet was like big, but it wasn't like huge. Because I said, you know what? I finish college. I get a good job. I can buy anything I
all
want later. I go back and buy stuff from 87. I have original Agassiz orange
boxes
from 85, I think, whatever year it was. I'm like, I go back, and even though I'm not wearing them, I go back and buy the original Kobe Adidas.
Rodmans.
In the closet, the Rodmans.
Worms are coming back. They came back out.
They did. And they came out here, finished line out here, put them on the shelves. They weren't supposed to. They've been on the shelves for months.
I need those air worms that zip up. I told you all that
I had two pair of air worms covered in mold. Took them to a shop. But... anyways, I don't want to hold you up anymore. No, you gotta go. JC, Urban Necessities, we appreciate it, man.
Guys, I appreciate you taking time out of the day and allowing me to spread the word a little bit, man.
Of course, man. I appreciate you answering our questions.
And I mean, if you're ever in town during the week when we record, get you in the studio, man.
It's
much, much better experience. You know what I mean?
Nah, this is dope, bro, man. Like, to be able to see everything that's going on around, and but still be able to sit down and chop it up.
Yeah.
It's cool, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
Much love, bro. Thank you.